Can we just quickly open our Bibles? I want us to take a set of confessions as our prayers for this evening. And I feel like I'll continue something that we began to speak about on Saturday. Well, we've been talking about it for some time on Saturday. Talking about the path of righteousness, the key of eternal life, how we attain righteousness with God. And there was something I said on Saturday which is very vital, and that's the issue of resisting certain temptations, all right? And let's just read this. This is not going into details about that, but I just want to read this expression to us again, the Bible. First of all, let's read from the book of James, chapter 7, and then we'll go to James chapter 4. Sorry. Now, look at what he says there in verse... let me just start from verse... I'm looking for where to pick it up from. All right, let's just start from verse 1. But where I'm going is verse 7. I won't read the whole thing. I'll just jump here and then and slow down when I get to around verse 5. So it was saying, why are there quarrels and conflicts amongst the people? And it was saying that it's because of the loss that they have and all of that. And then he began to speak about the fact that people ask and don't receive. And the reason why they don't receive is because the motivation for the asking being out of order with the will of God. And he now said in verse 5, or do you think that the scriptures speak to no purpose? That is when he says, he jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace, all right? Therefore he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He now said in verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Then he went ahead and said some other things. But if you read in verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, there's a reason why I read this, and the main reason for now is the fact that he used the expression, submit therefore to God, but more importantly, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I want to lay this as the foundation for our prayer this evening. We will spend some time declaring some things about our personal lives. And this is in line with what we have been teaching for some weeks some weeks ago. And my emphasis, like I said, is to break down this works mentality that has crept into the body of Christ. What I have noticed, and the thing is really all over the place, is that Christians have not been taught to put their emphasis on the grace that is in Christ Jesus. These days, they are hardly taught to put their emphasis on the righteousness that comes by faith. What people do is to unconsciously, because it's just all over the place, all right? So unconsciously, they try to work for whatever they will get from God. If they need a special thing, they can't just ask simply and expect God to give to them. They want to fast for a number of days, and it's an unconscious thing. You want to punish yourself as to let God know that you have done something to get what you are asking from him, that you want to prosper. We lay so much emphasis on the giving that we are giving, that is our money, as being the thing that will bring prosperity back to us. Let me just drop it again by the side. It is not so. It doesn't work like that. You can give until you are broke and borrow from your future to give. You will still be poor if you don't do what is right. And that is a matter of fact. You understand my point? You can tie it until your life becomes tight, like they say. You get my point? It does not guarantee you anything. You must understand that. Because in Christianity, what matters is that he was rich, yet he became poor, so that you and I, through his poverty, might be made rich. And until we recognize that, you're not going anywhere. All right? So, what's the dream in my mind? I mean, my focus for the year is to let Christians realize it again. That righteousness is by what? Faith. Righteousness is by what? I'm asking you, righteousness is by what?
Faith.
That is what righteousness is by. What is faith? Faith means that God says that I have done it, then accept it as so. If God says I have forgiven you, take his word for it, you have been forgiven. If God says I will answer you anytime you cry, then cry anytime you need to and expect an answer. You don't have to do something as to be able to take some credit that you have worked, all right? Now, I'm not teaching on that now. We began to speak about that on Saturdays. Today is our school of prayer again. I just want to lay that one as the emphasis and the foundation for our prayer today. And now this one we read, it said, resist. Why am I talking about resist again? I said that on Saturday. That's this last Saturday that just passed now. When I said resist, what I was trying to explain there, I said, on that side, what I was talking is that what the devil tries to do is to draw us out of the place of our strength and then carry us to the place where he is strong. Do you get my point? If you hear, maybe you are watching, if you watch these lawn tennis guys, all right, you see that somebody is strong on the hard court, and who's the guy that's very strong on the clay court? And I used to wonder why they called it clay court until yesterday again. Or recently, I found out why it was called clay court. I thought it was just a color. Until I found out they should have just called it a dirty court, you know, that kind of thing. It's just the ball doesn't bounce very well, you know, stuff like that. The point is this. Some people are very strong on grass court. Say Wimbledon is played on grass, right? Some people are saying, what is he talking about? All right, you hear on lawn tennis, there are different, all right, kind of courts they use. Some is real hard courts, the one most of us are used to. Some is clay court, some is grass, all right? Now, some people are stronger in some areas than others. So you find a particular champion, if you want to beat him, just carry him to maybe hard court. You will beat him very well there. But once he gets back to clay court and grass court, you are dead meat. You know that kind of thing. And that's how it is. Satan is like that. The area where he's strong, I said it on Saturday, you can go and listen to that message again. The area where he's strong is the area of works. The area where he's strong is the area of self-righteousness. The area where he's strong is the area of the flesh. The area where he is strong, are you getting my point? Is the area of the world. Now, let me tell you something about sin. You know, let me tell you something about sin. Eh? Sin is not always what we think it is. Some of the very good things we do in life, I said that also on Saturday, as far as God is concerned, they are sin. You understand? Wickedness. And you thought you had a good intention. You thought you were doing it so that God would get something out of it. As an example, remember when David went to carry the ark, you know, from Kiriath Jearim, right? Was that where the ark was? And then when they got to the threshing place of who? Was it one threshing place anyway? And Uzzah now touched the ark, and he collapsed and he died. And why did Uzzah die? It's simple. Later on, David explained it. He said it was because we did not seek him after the due order. What David was trying to do was good. He wanted to bring the ark back because since they captured it in the days of Saul, nobody had gone to look for the ark. David now, having been established as king, said, let's go and bring the ark back. Very nice, isn't it so? Very nice thing to do. But this time around, he made one crucial error. Instead of the ark to be carried according to the prescribed order, he decided to do something. Now, this is the emphasis. He wanted to do something good for God. You know, this is for my God. You know what I'm saying? The ark cannot just suffer. So let's go and buy the latest, you know, what kind of car now? That has that, you know, we'll go and buy a very nice, maybe Lincoln, all right? With open back, we'll put the ark on it. As the ark is passing, you'll be sprinkling it with anointing oil. As the ark is passing, you are sprinkling things. Now, the point is this. It appears very nice to everybody. But in the eyes of God, that was wrong. What's my emphasis? Some of the good things we do, they're actually sin in the eyes of God. For David, that was a sin. Why? God gave a prescribed order. He said, take the ark and carry the ark on the shoulders of the priests. He told them, don't touch the ark at all. Even the priests were not supposed to touch it. You know that. They had rings, all right, at the edges of the ark. You passed your pole into it and lifted off the ark. And then Uzzah again. David did the first error. He put the ark on the cart. What he did was to take some very strong oxen, tie very nice carts to them, and then put the ark on it. That was the first mistake David made. And then Uzzah was one of those driving the cart. But yeah, move, move. Then at the point in time, they climbed one stone that somebody forgot to remove from the way. And then the ark was about to tumble. Again, notice, why should the ark of God tumble? Think about it. Would you like let the ark of God tumble? Even if you did it yourself. May you not be in a bad place. Because as a good child of God, a man of the covenant, if the ark wants to tumble, you're supposed not let it happen. God said, did you ever see where I wrote, thou shalt not let it tumble? What I wrote, that thou shalt not touch. If you are tumbled, that was not the sin. But you touched it, that was a crime. Good intention. He didn't want it to fall. But do you know, this is a sad part of it, do you know he died for it?
good intention or no, like the Americans will say, whether the intention was good or was not good, the young man died for it. The Bible, now, the way the Bible says it, the anger of God was kindled against Uzzah. You must understand that it wasn't just like there was one sharp object there that injured him and he died. The Bible says the anger of God was kindled against Uzzah. So he struck him and there he died. Good intention. You see, it doesn't always work. That's why I say to you all the time, Christians must learn. You must learn. He said, guard your steps when you approach the temple of God. Draw near to listen. If you don't not draw near to listen, you end up offering what he calls the sacrifices of fools. He said, they do not realize that they are doing evil. They came with a good heart. They came with a good intention. But their sacrifices were the sacrifices of fools. Now, why did I say that? That's why, you know, we're talking about where Satan is strong. Satan is strong in the area of works. Satan is strong in the area of the flesh. Satan is strong in the area of self-righteousness. And when he wants to play the game and he wants to lose, that's where he drags you to. What is the focus for today's prayer? To take our eyes away again for what? From self-righteousness to the righteousness of God. They say, herein is the righteousness of God revealed. If you approach God in prayer and you look back over your life, say, God, I have tried for you. You've moved to the devil's area. They will say, fine. This is the area where I like to play my own game, where you have tried for God. Please, I hope you follow my point. If you want to pray, you move into the area of prayer. And you know, I said something that on that Saturday, and that, which is why I'm bringing it up again today. I said you must resist it. That's why I read this one. He said what? Resist. Whom resist? Steadfast in your faith. He said resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what why I read this. Those things are temptations. Looking back over the good work you have done for God, thinking that because of that he will do something for you, is a temptation. You must resist it. You want to pray for somebody who is in need, and let's say you remember that, last week I had some money. That guy who needed money, did I not give to him? That young boy wanted to pay fees, he was crying. Did I not give him? And it comes to your mind as you're about to start praying. You have just fallen for the devil. You have just fallen for what? The devil, his temptation. So what do? You resist. I said it on Saturday. What do? You immediately you start talking. Say, Lord, as for those offerings I gave, I thank you for them. But I'm just your servant. I have done what I was supposed to do. And listen, Satan, shut your mouth. Get behind me. No, you must say it openly. God, I am not coming to you because of what I have done. I am not coming to you because of that offering I gave. I say to you all the time, don't let anybody ever say this to you and you believe it. That when you want to pray, bring out your checkbook. It's arrant nonsense. I say, God, look at what I have done. You are playing the devil's game. Because there is more that you have not done than that which you have done. And once you move to the area of what I have done, the devil comes back, fine, this is the area where I like. I start telling you the things you have not done. So when you want to pray, what do? You pray only how? In the name of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Any good thing you have done, you consciously refuse to remember it. Any bad thing you have done, the same thing. All of them are in the same group. I hope you know. They are all works of the flesh. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Any bad thing you have done, you realize it's also covered by the blood of Jesus. Anything you are going to get from God, you are getting purely because Jesus paid for it. And I say, are you saying, we'll talk about that on Saturday. Are you saying good works don't have reward? They have, but it's between God and himself to calculate it. Did you hear what I said? Yes. It is his own. How he will use it is his business. The example I give about that all the time is when the Shunammite woman, after she did everything she was going to do for Elijah. Is it Elijah or Elisha now? Elisha. He said, what do we do for this woman? They called her. What do you want? Nothing. Let's talk to the chief of staff of the army for you. No need. You need money. My husband is very rich. Ask everything. Say, I don't need anything. What I did because I recognize that you're a man of God and you're doing the work of the ministry. And then she left. Now, take Elisha as a type of God. Now turn to his servant. What do you do for that woman? He said, I have noticed that she doesn't have a child. He said, okay, call her then. It was between God and himself. Are you getting my point? to say, this is what I want to give you. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. It's important. You will move further and faster in life if you understand this thing I'm telling you. That once you get to the place of prayer, you must come there empty-handed. You know, empty-handed? Nothing. You're not holding to anything. Have you done well? I don't know. Because let me tell you something. You don't know the measure that God is using to judge. That's a very important thing. You don't know the measure he's using to judge. You know, I talk about Job all the time. For many years, Job was an issue for me. I used to study and read Job until I finally understood. The summary of this book of Job is that Job was the best of all men. Amen? He was. But once you get into the heavens, he was the worst of all righteous men. I don't know whether you get my point. Once you begin to use God as a standard, you find that Job doesn't measure at all. So the point I'm making is this. Job had to get that point. By the time, you know, when Job was speaking initially, oh, this was what happened. I used to help people. I never did anything wrong. When God finished speaking with Job, Job suddenly realized that the measure that God is looking at, I don't in any way come near it. Therefore, if after that day, Job won't dare go to prayer and be thinking that, myself, I don't try. What's my message today? I'm not preaching that message now. We're doing a series on it. I just want that to be the foundation for our prayer today. And that's the fact that we are resisting the very thoughts of self-righteousness. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, what is resisting? It's like Satan wants to beat me. Eh? He wants me to think I will prosper because I have given. And his plan is so that I will be poor. I don't know whether I hear what I said. He wants to put me in a place of self-confidence. That look at it, I have done my business very well. I didn't cheat anybody. For that reason, this business will prosper. So when I go and pray, I say, God, you see, I have not cheated anybody. I have not changed anybody. I say, good. Have you changed anybody? No, hey, so go and pray. And you know what he's doing? He's ensuring that that business will never go anywhere. Let me tell you, Christianity is very fun. If you don't know it very well, you wonder what is this person talking about. That is it good to cheat people? Did I say you should cheat people? No, it's not right to cheat people. It is called sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? But when we go to pray, we don't go say, God, see, I have not cheated anybody. So bless me. God say, wow. You get to that level, let me start telling you, the people you were supposed to help, you did not help. You're only thinking about those you did not cheat. Don't you know that the Bible says that the person that slack in his business is brother to him that destroys? That is, the one that cheats is brother to him that refuses to help people that you're supposed to help. You don't know that? That is, the cheat is very close to the man who refuses to be generous. He that is slack in his business is brother to him that destroys. Do you get my point? That's why when you want to pray, you don't say, God, you see, this business, I have not cheated anybody, so you will make it grow. Because that's not the premise. You know why your business will grow? Two reasons. One, Jesus paid for everything you would ever desire in life. Every single thing. And then number two reason why it will do well is because you asked me that I should release that grace that Jesus has paid for. On those two things hang the law and the prophets. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That's it. That your prosperity hangs on those two things. Will I be rich in life? Yes. Why? Oh, I'm a generous giver. No. That's a passport to poverty. Will I be rich in life? Yes. Why? Because Jesus was rich. Then he came down, shed all his riches, he died, and that's the height of poverty. That I, through his poverty, may be made rich. That's it. So shouldn't you be generous? If you know that, generosity will be a part of you. Your generosity, therefore, is a sign of your faith. Did you hear what I said? It is therefore what? A sign of your faith. A stingy man, a faithless man cannot use giving, therefore, to bribe God into prosperity. Anything he's going to get from God is going to be by faith. What is faith? If God says it, I believe it, that settles it. How do I live my life after? I start living my life like what God says is true. So all the sins that men commit, all the lack of giving, in quotes now, that women commit, it is because they don't have faith. Are you getting my point? So that becomes a reflection of the fact that they don't have faith. It is not as if it is your labor that will compel God to bless you. Listen, you must fight that thing. In today's Christianity, it is preached all the time as if it is what you do that brings you into God's favor. I'm telling you today again, the only thing that brings you into God's favor is what Christ did. How does righteousness come? He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul was saying. If you want, no, righteousness, I said to us, means what? To be okay with God. For God to look at you and say, yes, you are doing good. For God to look at a businessman and say, you are a good businessman. And the Bible says, hearing is that thing revealed. It is from faith to faith. That is a man, listen, who works hard, makes sure everything is done. He's in his office on time. He doesn't cheat anybody. As his money is coming out, he gives God his portion, gives his neighbor the portion. He does everything that he's doing well. And he checks a law book he has concerning how to do business. And he does everything and then he settles down. And say, look at it, I've completed everything. I must prosper. His Bible name is Esau. What I call his Bible name? Esau. Jacob, what is Jacob? He may come late to work because God is still teaching him diligence. I don't know whether you get my point. I'm not saying he'll be late forever. But why he's still learning? But God looks at his heart and says, this fellow, this is what he says all the time. God, if you don't help me in this life, you know I can't be helped. Are you following my point? He says to God all the time, if you don't help me, I can't be helped. Before he does any business, what goes to his mind is, God, is your blessing on this one? Because if you don't help me, I can't be helped. So, this is Esau. Esau is like, we have done our feasibility studies. We have gotten a prophet anointing upon this one. I hope you get what I'm saying. This is Esau for you. What is remaining? We have hired the best people. How many days do you spend in prayer prophesying over this? They say it's 6 days. Good. 6 days of intense prayers on this one. There's no how it won't do well. Oh yeah. In all of this, he has used spiritual gymnastics as his own strength. It is still human strength. That is his spiritual Esau. But Jacob looks at him and says, we'll try our best to. But I beg. Now beg with a beg. You know, say, as human beings, we are mindful that we are both flesh. We can make mistakes. We can trust Judas's. You know, we bring Judas's into ministry. We don't realize that. Yes? We can go into allegiance, people who pretend to be Christians, thinking that we're only doing business with Christians. Lord, whatever we do, if you don't pour a blessing upon it, it won't go anywhere. So guys, let's join hands, please. Just ask God for his mercy upon this business. And they do, and then they go home. That's when men start dreaming dreams. They start having revelations. You understand my point? Yes, you will have revelation that, listen, Mali is about to be invaded. Don't go there. Something you can never read in a business book. Please, I hope you're getting my point. You see, I'm getting stuck on this teaching. I'm not supposed to teach. We're supposed to be praying. All right? What's my emphasis? Hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. Therefore, every one of us must what? Resist the temptation of the devil. That is a problem with good people. What did I say? They have too much good on their side. Listen, as a good man, it's hard not to think you are good. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. When you want to pray, and as I go there, me, all these girls, where did they play around me? since I secondary school and fellowship and church, I did go. When you want to pray, it's in your mind. It's in your mind. It's a passport for a good husband. It's a passport for prosperity. It's a passport for everything. And how you know that you're a sinner is this? When you see one bad girl gets married, say, is she really a Christian? Hey, we don't know. All these people. You know the truth? Paul said, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. If any girl be in Christ, are you getting my point? Until you look and say, is she really in Christ? You ask yourself, She's a true believer, then she's a new creature. Whatever it is, I like one thing Donald Dunsey Jr. said once. Is if anybody says, I know this fellow, he said, they only know what the fellow was like, his history. If they say, I know this person, that knowledge is always history. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I said, it's a temptation for good people. They have too much good on their side. They know how to pray. They know how to give. They know how to prophesy. They've lived a righteous life for a very long time. And Satan said, listen to me. That you know you are made, and they agree because of what they have done. And that's it. That is Satan trying to cage them. How do you resist Satan? Anytime you want to pray, you tell yourself, if the thought of I've been a good boy, I've been a good girl comes to your mind, I say, Lord, this thought just came to my mind. I confess it as sin. It's the work of my own flesh. I reject it. I have come to you today only by the grace that is in the blood of Jesus. Anything I'm getting from you as a result of today's prayer is going to be because Jesus paid for it. You hear what I said? What's the message? Is resist. What did I say? What did I say? Resist. That's the gospel of righteousness. That's what I'm teaching this series. That is the gospel of the righteousness of God. I know the advantage of that. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of any man, including you, what God has planned for you. Sow a seed towards this. It's because you know what you are sowing a seed towards. Amen? I don't know what I heard I said. If they say, sow a seed towards your dreamliner, you know, some people can't sell that seed, even if they have the money. They say, no, I ain't sowing nothing because God can't do that one. That is like, 200 and something million dollars. Are you joking? God don't even go near there. But a man, a woman who approaches God on the basis of the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus, let's summarize it. In his or her life, anything can happen. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes, because I'm not operating by that which I personally can envision. No. I said to you the other day that Christians don't think, they receive thoughts. What did I say? They receive thoughts. Now, Pastor Banga, how do I receive thoughts? Just know that Christians don't think, they receive thoughts. Thoughts will start dropping into your head. I got ideas. That's why a naturally foolish person can be a success if he's a believer. That is, everybody knows that this guy, this girl, he don't know how to think. You will use error. What did I say? Error. You will use error to make $1 billion. That is, why did you make $1 billion? Because you are the only foolish person. Everybody else was smart. So you were the one that bet against the other people that were smart, all the other people that were smart. Therefore, when the thing was drawn, you were the only one betting wrongly. I don't know whether you get my point. So you won. So Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what it means. So the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Now, I'm not supposed to speak for long. It's supposed to be a foundation. So what are we doing? We are resisting. Tell your neighbor we are resisting. We are resisting Satan's temptations. Say it like that. We are resisting Satan's temptation. Let me say something to you again. How do you resist Satan's temptation? You know, sometimes we say, Satan, I resist you. That is quarter to resistance. That's not really resistance yet. It is you are trying to resist. At least now you know there is resisting to do. How do you resist, therefore? When Jesus was being tempted, what did he say? It is written. He knew somebody had to be resisted. That's what I've tried to emphasize, that Satan must be resisted. How do you resist him? It is how? By what is written. What is righteousness? Your righteousness. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. Open your Bibles to read this, then we'll stand to our feet. Then we'll begin to declare. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a scripture we all know. I just want to read it. Let's just read from verse 16. It said, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, just jump down to verse 20. I want to read verse 21. It said, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, notice verse 21. It said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me read again. He said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Now, that was sin. We'll teach on it maybe one of these Saturdays. But there are different ways to look at it. What he was saying in effect is this. All the payment, all the punishment for the sins of mankind have been poured upon him. As a consequence, we have been produced as two things. One, the demonstration of God's righteousness. That's number one. And then number two, we have become righteous in him. That is, we have now attained the righteousness of God in him. Those are the two things. Please note what I said. There are two things there. Number one, talking about sin. Sin has two sides there. One, that is, it has become a sin offering. All the judgment, all the punishment for your sin has been placed upon him. And as a consequence, what you have is two things also. You, your presence, your existence, is a demonstration that God is a righteous God. We'll talk about that later, not today. And then number two, you have attained the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. I hope you understand what I've said. I hope you understand what I said. Therefore, how do we live life? You understand that I am a righteous man. One day I had an argument with some people in my office. I think I was not wise, or I was being smart. So they're talking about righteousness, and I said that no man is righteous. I said, what do you mean? I'm righteous. I don't believe there's any man on this earth more righteous than me. Hey, one of my colleagues, they said, said, Chief, it was junior to me in the program. Said, Chief, I don't know about that. Oh. I don't know about that. Oh. As if, how can you stand up and say that nobody on this earth is more righteous than you? And another person said, like, I should get away. I said, let me say it again. Nobody on this earth is more righteous than I am. You know the confusion? They were thinking from the other end. You are saying you don't have any bad thoughts. Okay, let's say we didn't catch you doing anything bad. But let's look at your mind. Are you saying there's nothing bad inside you? Okay, there's nobody on this earth that you hate. Because whoever hates somebody is a murderer. Those are the things they are thinking about. But I was thinking of one thing. What I have become in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? The least in the kingdom of God is more powerful than John the Baptist. I am thinking about what I have become in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about the fact that I wasn't talking about that I don't make any mistakes. I wasn't talking about the fact that I've never done anything wrong, or that my thoughts don't think wrong things. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. I was looking at that conversation from one premise. I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you can't get better than that. Do you understand? Even if Jesus himself came back, you understand? All he will be is the righteousness of God in himself. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I knew I caused confusion. Some people leave and say, don't mind that guy. He's so full of himself. But no, I wasn't full of myself. I was full of what? God. Let's rise to our feet. It's a prayer meeting. Like I said, it's today we are resisting. What did I say? I said something to you last time. I hope you have done it between Saturday and today. All your account is empty. Amen. you know what I mean by that? Those who are around on Saturday. There are those that have been doing things. Say, this one, this offering I give today is for my future. Hear ye the word of the Lord, that account is empty. It wasn't empty until you heard me. And it was empty all the while. I was just the one that God used to show you your true balance. You know, how many of you know PENCOM? PENCOM here. So every Nigerian that's working, they're supposed to have a PENCOM account. So for years, since they started the thing, because I work for federal government, they've been taking money from my account, small. So I just assume that it's supposed to be your retirement savings account, RSA, all right? So one day I got a slip of paper. It was generated by a computer, of course. That said, your RSA contribution is, as they give you your balance, 0.00. Nothing in front, nothing behind it. Your account balance is 0.00. Hey, look, what is going on here? Let's make it long story short. For the 3 or 4 years that my money has been deducted, no, is that in 2004 or 2007? When was it? Did you start that thing? And for all the years that they've been doing that, until last year, my own account was written 0.00. Now, we're not going into details about that, all right? How it came to be. But somebody was not remitting the money. Because the money doesn't get to our institution. It's taken from Abuja. They just cut it. They do something and then send it. But he said the money was sitting down in CBN. So even federal government did not know. They found out. That's when in my office, say, giddy, giddy, giddy. Everybody come over here. Start filling form. So that he said the money was just sitting down in CBN. Nobody was chopping it. Nobody just knew it was there. So people would just retire. Say, where's my retirement service? So sorry, your balance is 0.00. Now, the bad side of it that they were supposed to be investing the money over there. It's supposed to be growing, you know, stuff like that. So most of us, for like 4 or 5 years, the thing was just stagnated. Now, why did I tell the story? Many Christians have been paying money to their future. And the account is what? 0.00. I have come today to warn you that your account is empty. But you can feel your account. Amen. Yeah, you can feel your account. Actually, you can't really feel it by yourself. Just open it for the grace that God has achieved in Christ Jesus to be channeled into that account. I said to you before, anytime you do work and you think that because of this work you'll be blessed, you just killed the power in that work. You just killed it. This is what Christians are supposed to do. You do that which is right and take your eyes off it. If you got my tweet a few days ago, I said it. Now listen, those who do good works for the reward, they don't get anything. But those who make good doing a continual lifestyle, there's great abundance of reward for them. I hope you're getting what I'm not explaining. See, that's why, anyway, I'm trying not to teach, all right? I just lay the foundation for us to understand that in Christ Jesus, you are made. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen, the prosperity you could ever have dreamt of, God has prepared something bigger than that for you in your future. It is not because of what you did or did not do. It is because Jesus Christ died and he rose again from the dead. Do you get my point? Some say, preach that when you are going to heaven, you carry some souls to God with you. For your information, the thing that's carrying to heaven, they carry two people. Now only one person they carry. Naked you came into this world and alone you will go back. That's how it goes. The souls you want for God, are they counted? No, they are not. Because Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. God can never accredit to you the increase that he gave. The man who preached just preached and does it. He's done his job. So what do you do as a believer? You just keep preaching. Just keep declaring. Stop. Just continue giving the testimony. That's what we do as Christians. We just do our good works continually. Then when it's prayer time like now, we lay hold of that which Christ has done. Are you getting my point? So let's begin to pray on this premise. Let's just start with a word of thanksgiving again. Just start thanking God. Say, Lord, I thank you because in Christ Jesus I've been set free. All my sins have been washed away. Listen, you can't pay for your sins by yourself. You can't. It's important to understand that. You cannot pay for your sins by yourself. Just say, Lord, I thank you because all my sins have been washed away. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am not the same anymore. I am not a descendant of my grandfather. I am not a descendant of my father or my mother. I am a descendant. I was born of the Spirit of God because I believed. Say, Lord, I thank you because in Christ Jesus I have passed out of death. I have passed into life. He said that in the book of John chapter 5. Verse 24, he said, those who have believed, they have passed out of death into life. Say it like you believe it. Say, Lord, I have passed out of death and I have passed into life. I thank you that it's not by my works. It's not by my own doing. No, it's just because Jesus died and he rose again. He gave his life as a ransom for me. He gave his life as a ransom for me. And I have believed that. I have believed that. Thank you for helping me to believe. Thank you for taking care of my unbelief. Thank you, Lord, for drawing me near to you. You said, I was found by those who were not even seeking for me. Lord, I was not seeking for you. It was your spirit that called me. Therefore, it is all of you. It is not by my own strength. It's not by my own power. It's not by any good thing that I have done in myself, in my own righteousness. It's only because of you. So give him thanks again this evening. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Yes, I sinned, but I thank you because I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven because Jesus died and paid for that sin. He paid to wash away the consequences. He paid to make my life new again. He paid so that it will be like I have never made a mistake in my life. Thank you because you have made me righteous. I want us to begin to declare that righteousness. Everybody say after me, say, in Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous. Please pause for a moment and listen to this again. I said to you earlier, how do we resist Satan? By declaring that which is written. Now, understand this. My focus in this teaching on righteousness and this prayer today on righteousness is to help us to understand again that it is not what we labored for that we are going to get in this life. That is what is called self-righteousness. It is what Jesus paid for. So when you say that in Christ Jesus I have been made righteous, what you are saying is that, listen, no, my husband is of God, my children are of God, my prosperity is of God, my wife is of God. You know, I was thinking about the other day, he said, houses and riches. Solomon was saying, God, fathers can give. He said, but a prudent wife is of the Lord. Now, something struck me. Just by yesterday or 2 days ago, I was driving, I just remembered that scripture. I said, look, no matter how much you arrange, that's what he was saying. No matter, you know, some people go and check the family. You know, that kind of thing. You send people to the village to go and investigate. You do all the investigation. That's what they call houses and riches are from the fathers. That's how fathers can buy a house. Are you getting my point? Yes. They have the money. They can say, okay, my son is getting married, my daughter is getting married, let me settle them. And they dash them a whole building. He said, no matter how good intention they are, they can never give a prudent wife. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? So when we're talking about righteousness, that's what we are saying. That I will get, or I have gotten, or I am getting, are you getting my point? A prudent wife from the Lord. The emphasis is from the Lord. That's the meaning of the word righteousness. Righteousness is not the church I go. Go to say there, are you righteous? Yes, nah, my name is not a Christian name. No. Righteousness simply means that whatever it is I will get in life is because Jesus has paid for it. Are you getting my point? So when you are saying, in Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous, that statement is heavy. I hope you hear what I said. Let me say it to you again. When you are making that statement, you are looking at the so-called witches, toying. I don't know whether you get my point. Who knows how to do toying here? You know how to do toying? Two finger toying, not one. That's what it means. Some people are going for deliverance. Go to the village, scatter all the devils. Just go there and say, in Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous. That is deliverance. It is a toying spirit. You understand? You just do like this, village spirit. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. That's what it means. That's what it means. So when you say, in Christ Jesus, I've been made righteous, the emphasis on that doctrine of righteousness is what I'm bringing forth. You're not just saying I'm righteous, that yes, now I'm a good Christian now. No, that now I behave properly. It's good. Thank God for good behavior. But that word righteousness, all right, it means simply, Satan, there's nothing you can do to me. And they say, this one is in the family. Say, not me. It will not affect me. Are you getting my point? Yes. You know, in India, somebody that there's what they call the untouchables. You know, the Hindus have this caste system. Eh? You know what they call the caste system? Yeah, they have like 5 castes. You know, the top people are the priests, the warriors, then, you know, like that. Finally, you get this lowest group of people who they call the untouchables. You know what that means? Fellow is born poor. Now, listen, not born poor. His great-great-grandfather was poor. And so was his great-grandfather. So was his grandfather. So was his father. And so will he be, and so will his children be. They don't own anything. They don't have sense. In quote. No, not because their brain is different from everybody else's own. Although eventually, if you check it over generations, the brain too will cooperate. I'm telling you, they have this caste system. But if an untouchable will rise up one day and say, in Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous. Listen, his children will rule that country. I hope you are getting my point. His children will be amongst the richest in that land. That's the meaning of the word righteousness. Righteousness is not, no, I'm not a good behavior, I'm not a well-behaved guy, I'm a well-behaved lady. That's good, that's part of it. But that's not the meaning of righteousness in its entirety. To be declared righteous means that Canaan, you know Canaan, cursed be Canaan, the son of Ham. It means Canaan will go up to Noah and say, a servant of servants I will not be. I don't know what I heard I said. That Noah will say, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he will be. Canaan will come back and say, bro Noah, come, let's talk. I came with news for you. There was a time you said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he will be. I have come back now to tell you that Canaan is no longer cursed and is nobody's servant apart from being the servant of the Most High God. Righteousness, the Bible says, delivers from death. What is death? Not just to collapse and your heart starts beating. Death is a spirit. It's a spirit of sickness, it's a spirit of poverty, it's a spirit of confusion. That's what death is. So when the Bible says righteousness delivers from death, that's part of it. That is, the spirit of confusion comes and say, and you say to him, me? You want to confuse me? You must be out of your mind. I have been made righteous. How does that come to be? Let me emphasize it again. It is not because of the good works that you did in righteousness. It is because of the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and paid for it all. What are we doing again today? We are resisting every contrary thought. Do you get my point?
Yes.
I've heard Christians, and you know, I grew up under the Word of Faith movement when it was strong in Nigeria. The first thing you learned when you entered fellowship was the doctrine of righteousness. Recently, now I'll be hearing Christians, they look at someone like the G.O., E. Adeboye, they look at Bishop Oyedepo, and they feel inferior. And I can't understand. Those are great men of God. What nonsense. We are all children of God for all I understand. You know me very well. You know how I respect people. I respect the men. But listen, none of the great men in God that you know is superior to me or you. The fact that you come up here to come and hear me teach day in, day out is simply because I'm occupying my own position. There is a place you will go to and I will always go there. Stanley, don't I come to your office? Ask C-Ben, don't I go to his office? This is my own office. When it's time to measure my clothes, I go to C-Ben's office. When it's time to hear the word, C-Ben comes to this place. No man is superior to the other one. Have you not gone to a doctor's clinic before? You've not been to a doctor's clinic where you see one small, tiny girl like this is a doctor, and you see one old, multi-millionaire sit down. Yeah, doc, yeah, this is where it is. And doc say, pull down your trouser. And the man doesn't hesitate. Doctor said, pull down your trouser. Is it a matter of superiority? No, now. You will go to his business place too, where he's the champion. And then he will say, pull out your checkbook. Then you pull it out. You want this? Pay for a sign. Yes, 1.5 million. And you will give him and say, thank you, sir. Are you getting my point? The glory, the glamour around each person is not what means that somebody has a superior level of righteousness. If you occupy your own office, there will be glory and glamour around you too. You hear what I said? Each person, occupy your office. Are you getting my point? Some of the men we look up to, they have occupied their offices. When it comes to righteousness, we're all the same. Why? Because it's not because of the amount of works we have done that makes us approved before God. It is because we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because we come having been washed by his blood. Now, you know why I went through all of this again? To let us understand that when we use the word righteous, when you declare it again and say, and you are saying I'm righteous, you are understanding the level where you are in life. Satan is not your mate. Shouldn't keep you up all night. If you want to stay up all night, let it be that you need more revelation. Are you getting my point? You need more understanding. During the day, everybody is disturbing you. So one day, you're going to sleep early. 8 o'clock, you're going to sleep. And by 11, you wake up and drink a cup of coffee on top of that. Say, tonight is my Bible. And these messages that Yinka and Israel brought back from Lagos. Say, these messages they brought back. Say, they were there for 1 week during the day. I will be here for 1 week during the night. That's what should keep you awake. Satan shouldn't keep you awake. Say, Lord, give me understanding. The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding that I will have direction. Give me understanding I will have success. Give me understanding and I shall live. That's what David said. That's what should keep you up awake. Say, tonight we're going to destroy the witches. They were destroyed once Jesus went to that cross. You get the point? They were destroyed. You don't stay up awake because of people who were destroyed long ago. The Bible says, having spoiled principalities and what? And powers. He made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. He must stay up and awake because of devil. No, a righteous man doesn't do that. Like I like to quote all the time, David, he said, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. That's what righteous people do. They go to sleep. In the midst of calamity and adversity, Jesus fell asleep. They had to wake him up. Don't you care that the rest of us are about to die? We know you know we'll die. They didn't think he was going to join them in the death. I hope you understand that. You know what I think? If when they were making noise, you would have slept through that storm. The storm would have gotten tired. You know, sometimes when the baby wants to sleep, what do? You rock the baby. Sometimes you need to be rocked. So Jesus wanted to be rocked, so the storm came to rock the boat. A righteous man, in the midst of adversity, he closed his eyes and he slept. You are not going to keep up at night because of a devil. Is that your name,
amen?
Why? Simply because you have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to the prayer now. Let's put up our hands and say, Father, I thank you because I have been made righteous. Because Jesus died, he washed away my sins, he gave me a new life. Say, Lord, I thank you because of that, I have been made righteous. Because of that, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Beat your chest, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I am seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Say it, far above principalities and powers. Let's talk about those things again. Say, all principalities and powers, they have been spoiled. Say, Jesus spoils them. He destroyed them. He defeated them. He made a public show of them. Therefore, I'm immune to their powers. No witch can touch me. No power of the enemy can handle me. Say it, in peace I will lay me down and sleep. In peace I will lie down at night. Because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. Declare it again. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous. Say, I am a righteous man, I'm a righteous woman. Say the one that applies to you. Not because of my own works, which I did in my own righteousness, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Say, I'm not inferior to any man. I am the handiwork of God. Say, I'm not inferior to any person. I am the handiwork of God. God crafted me in Christ Jesus, and he said to me, you are a righteous person. He said to me, your sins have been removed. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed my sins from me. Therefore, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing to hold in me, because I've been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Say it, because I've been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All ancestral curses are broken. All ancestral covenants are broken. All ancestral bondages, they are broken. Say, like Canaan, I can return back to Noah and say, I'm not cursed anymore. Because Jesus has paid to wash off the curse of slavery. No, that's what I said earlier. That's what I'm referring to. that Canaan can walk back up to Noah. You know, sometimes I see Christians talk about that God loves the Jews. I know it's very annoying to hear some statements. I am the one that's beloved of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, you are the one that is beloved of God. Any Jew that wants to be loved, that better believe like you believe. Are you getting my point? Any Jew that wants to be loved. No, you know, Christians are funny. Things that Jesus warned them about. He said, I know you will come and say, we have Abraham for our father. You know, they said in the days of Jesus. Yeah, Christians are the one quoting it now, that they have Abraham for their father. Say, I am beloved by God. I am the Lord's beloved. It doesn't matter what I did in the past. I have been washed. It doesn't matter what my ancestors did. The link has been broken. Now I have an ancestor. His name is Jesus Christ. Now I have an ancestor in faith. And that is Father Abraham. I am of faith. And by that faith, I have been made righteous. You know, I spoke extensively of the meaning of the word righteousness. Bear those things in mind again. Just think about them for a second. And say it again. Because of faith. Say it. Because of faith. I have been made righteous. Because of faith. Not because of my works. I wanted to say this so that you won't believe this the opposite anymore. Say, my giving. Is not what is making me prosper. My giving is because I'm a giver. I hope you understand what I said. Yes. That my prosperity, say it, was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, even if I have nothing to give, I will still prosper. I'm a generous person because God has made me righteous. I'm a generous person because I don't hold on to the things of this world. I'm a generous person not because I'm afraid of tomorrow, but because I trust God that He has my tomorrow in His hands. My righteousness, which was achieved by faith, speaks in this wise that your future. Say that your righteousness is talking to you. You understand my point? And it's saying to you. Say, it's saying to me. That my future is secure. In Christ Jesus. That Jesus paid for it. Say, Jesus paid for it. Just wave your hands to the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord, I thank you that you paid for it. Say, I thank you that you paid for it. It is crucial that Christians stop laboring as if that labor is what will make them. No. Thank God now. Right now. Thank God because He has paid for the thing that you were laboring for. You have been made. You know what? Listen to this. You know what the Lord Jesus said? Occupy with this until I come. Anything you are doing in life right now, it's called occupation. You know, that's why they call it occupation. What is your occupation? It's something that occupies you. Children of God, they are responsible people. They are not idle. They are not beggars. You know what a beggar is? Looking for where it is happening. A child of God is somebody that likes to give. When I say give, not just money. Money is part of it. But if there's something going on, and who will do this? Let's go and help them. Are you getting my point? That's why you're a Nigerian. Nigerian needs help. You get what I'm saying? Yes, anywhere you go in life, you know, I say it all the time. I say, my landlord is a nice man. I don't care how he is physically. All I care about is that I am living in a house I did not build. Therefore, I give an offering regularly. Yes, that's how a Christian thinks. Isn't that when it's time to pay rent, I say, this rent is safe. In your mind, why is this man collecting it? That's what you are thinking about him. Instead of you to think about the head as God gives you the opportunity. Alright? You are thinking, is he collecting it? So you are happy if you are broke, so you can tell the man I'm broke. A child of God is a giver. So I gladly write the check and give my landlord his it's an offering. Are you getting my point? for being so kind. It's called appreciation. You know, you have to learn how to say thank you. When Jesus healed some people, what did they do? They ran away making noise. One came back and came to say thank you. And Jesus said, this one should be commended. In the same manner, a man built a house. I should tell him thank you. Now, are you seeing the Christian perspective to everything? You know why? Because I'm a giver. Because you are a giver. As for your future, as for the houses you will build, you know, somebody's already building them. I hope you know. Yes. Somebody's mapping out your land. Yes. Somebody else is doing it. That's why I tell you, look, find your own job and do it. Stop struggling with somebody else's own. Look, someday I've told God in heaven, and God knows that, in fact, he has done that one. I will never supervise any building in my life. You know why? I'm not an architect. I'm not a building contractor. I'm not a civil engineer. What am I doing supervising buildings? I will go and preach. Somebody should go and supervise my building. You go there and say, how many bags of cement? Oh, yeah, count it. God, if I do that, put me out of ministry. Well, don't just let me do that. Let's not even talk about being put out of ministry. Just don't let me do that. Somebody say, if you do it by direct labor, you will save a million. Why should I save a million? Am I not a giver? This saving. Why should I save a millionaire? Sometimes we calculate ourselves into poverty. There's no need. If you do it by yourself, do it like that, you will save like a millionaire. I said, if everybody is saving like that, all of us are going to be poor. Yes. So let me pay the 1 million extra and have time to do my own work. Let the man whose job it is to be supervising the building, let him make the million. He too has to eat now. His children must go to school. I'm not doing any direct labor. I'm not federal government, FEMA. I'm blessed. That here, name, man. Amen. You are blessed. That here, name, man.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to let money draw. No, no, directly, but we're going to save. Look, it's a time of poverty. You think such things. You are thinking of prosperity. Get ready. Did I hear that? What did I say?
Yes,
say, I'm getting ready.
I'm getting ready.
See, that's how righteous people think. You know why? You're a giver. Later on, we'll talk about it maybe on Saturday. Say you were created for good works. What did I say? Say, I was created for good works. For good works. For good works. Good works come out of you because of how you were created. Not because you are trying to achieve something, but because of how you were created. Say it again. Say, my righteousness is speaking.
My righteousness is speaking.
And it is saying to me, oh boy, oh girl, your future is secure. Somebody has paid for it.
Somebody has paid for it.
Say, Jesus has paid for it. Right now, I'm living my life knowing that Jesus has paid for it. In Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous. Say this after me. Say, it makes all grace abound towards me that I have all sufficiency in all things. Therefore, I am bound to every good work. He said, behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Say, why? No, ask now. Say, why? Because Jesus paid. It's not free. It's just that Jesus has paid. And I receive that grace.
And I walk in it.
Say this, we need to say that we are resisting the devil. Say, I do not have any confidence in my own ability.
My sufficiency is of God.
He has made me sufficient.
Able
to fulfill his assignment for my life.
He has made me able.
Capable.
Sufficient.
To express his glory on this earth.
Say it.
It is not by my own strength.
I'm not relying on my strength.
I'm not relying on my degrees.
I'm not relying on my education.
I'm not relying on my connection.
I'm not relying on who my natural father is.
Those are the things of the flesh.
Say, those are the things of the flesh. But I know that by righteousness, I have been made able to become anything in life. Because God has so purposed, and so He has created me, and so He has enabled me. Therefore, I do not rely on the arm of flesh. But I rely on the operation of the Spirit of God. Therefore, I speak to my soul. Rest in Christ. Rest in God. Rest in Christ. Rest in God. Your future is secure. Hey, that thing, I feel so strong about that. Your future is secure. Listen, let me say it to you again and repeat it. I said, my future, say it, my future,
is secure.
Jesus paid for it already. I'm not laboring to bring it to pass. Jesus paid for it already. I'm not trying to create it. Jesus paid for it already. God the Father is releasing it. Bit by bit. And in due season. Bit by bit. And in due season. I'm walking into my glory. I'm walking into my destiny. Jesus paid for it all. He removed all the hindrances. I don't need to know anybody. When the time comes, the person that God will use, listen to this, will seek to know me by himself. How did Joseph get to know Pharaoh? Do you get the point I'm making?
Yes, sir.
How did Joseph get to know Pharaoh? It was Pharaoh that had a problem. It was one of Pharaoh's ministers that told him, okay, we like this person, the way he help us. Pharaoh paid the money. They went to the prison, bought clothes. Somebody will buy you a suit and a flight ticket. Watch it.
Amen.
They will say to you that, where you are going? This is your cloth, not fi enter. He said, now the one where I get with that. They go, look, wait. I better bring that one. Okay, quickly. Then in size, not there. Yeah, rush. Let them go and get his size. One of my friends, when God wanted to bless him, his friend called him and said, well, what are you? They said, I didn't know. He said, come to Lagos. They said, I can't come to Lagos. I don't have transport fare. He said, Okay, go to the airport. When you get to the counter, tell them your name. So he got to one of the airlines counter. Hello, my name is so-and-so. Oh, you're welcome, sir. They thought the thing. Take. The guy looks at it. That's not bad. He said one of those, he arrived in Lagos. And he saw two different people waiting for him. One had a placard with his name on it. Saying, now you with a logo. And that person said, so when they got there, the guy said, we should come and carry you. And I said, madam said, we should come and carry you. So he looked. So your own is a car. Your own is a jeep. The car can go. You see, when God, you see, anybody you have to be calling and calling, stop calling. God has not appointed that one to be your helper. No, God has not appointed that one. The one that tells you, okay, next week, call me again. He's hanging the phone. He's not answering the call. You are calling. You are getting to his gates. Okay. He just left here now. Any message for me? No. Was he expecting you? You didn't see, no. You just needed to know that all flesh is grass. Sure, you found out now. Uh-huh. And I'm telling you today, stop going. You won't lose anything.
Amen.
Don't worry, you won't lose anything.
Amen.
The person that God has, because God uses people, the person he has appointed, if he has to go when you are coming, he will leave a message with apologies. Please. And you will know that this one wants me. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
The one that's like, let's just do this poor boy a favor. It's not the will of God. Listen, when we use the word righteousness, that's what it means. What I've tried to do today is this. As you live here, don't ever forget it. You don't trust in your own righteousness. You don't. You trust only in the righteousness of God, which you attain by faith in Christ Jesus. That's why it's not everything you settle for because you think you don't deserve more than that. There's nothing in this life you don't deserve. Why? You're not the one paying.
Let's talk in natural plane now. Assume that Aliko Dangote called me one day and said, we're talking in natural plane, all right? We're talking natural plane. I said, we're going somewhere. And they now give me a ticket. I'm about to, and they say, first class, please. I'll say, no. Ah, first class. If I sell this, I can't sell the ticket. Nobody may pay for it. You know the way we think normally. This kind of ticket now. Ah, that one go lay foundation, okay? Waiting. But this one is your own. Nobody you pay for it. Are you getting my point? Somebody else paid for it. Somebody, you know, is it Adenuga that dashed the Eagles $1 million because they won a match? Huh? You see what I'm saying? So such a man say, okay, come and fly. And I say, okay, this money not too much for ordinary flying. Why are we flying first class? Is it your money? If a man can dash somebody $1 million for playing football, just to give you $600 to fly from here to the U.S., now you get my point? So in life, it's not what you are able to do. It's not where your qualification can get you to. It is what God created you to be that Jesus gave you the liberty to become. That's what we are dealing with. So they don't just settle for everything. That this one is enough for you. You take life stage by stage. But believe me, one day, listen to me, one day somebody hearing me, I didn't know God will call you. Dangote will call you and say, please, we'd like to talk with you. That's not preacher's talk. I'm telling you the fact. They're not human beings. They get two heads. All flesh is what? Grass. All the naira they have is grass. So if you have plenty of grass is what? Grass. You are getting the logic. Listen, ask my wife when she first met me. She looked and said, this man. Because, you know, that time I found that I was 20 kg lighter than what I am right now. Yes, I weighed myself. I was 20 kg smaller than this. If it's money, I was 2,000 kg less than this one. Are you getting my point? I don't have to tell you. Of course, you know how many years I've been married. So I was like 15 years younger than this. Yeah, she looked at me and said, this man, you are just full of yourself. Because when it comes to talk, I didn't know how to talk small. I didn't have the ability to. You know when people are jealous of people, I don't understand what you call jealousy. I've never felt inferior to anybody. Why should I be jealous of you? You are jealous of those who are better than you. Don't be so. I've never seen anybody better than me. All my life. Since I knew Christ Jesus, and I saw the word of God, I've never seen one person better than me. Bishop Oyedepo, I used to love him and respect him. Not just senior bro. Senior bro, that level, now him be. Because even he preached to us and said, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. Did he not tell you that in Lagos? So we heard it and we felt very happy about it. So my wife looked at me. She didn't know the kind gospel with me I don't hear. You thought I would be walking humbly. I only walk humbly before the Lord. The day one policeman said, hey, you stop. I looked at him. What's the problem? He said, I'm a policeman. I said, can I see your ID card? I was running off. DG, my brother was driving. He almost collapsed. He thought every human being should tremble in the presence of. Wait. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion. Listen, in life, we just give honor to whom honor is due. Otherwise, I will sit down and go there and say, Aliko, how far? Just that you know, you're supposed to respect your seniors. Somebody will pass you. And that's my rule. You get to my office, if you see me talk to my mortuary attendants who are older than me, I talk to them, like the Bible says, talk to the older ones like fathers. I'm the boss, so I'm the head of the department. Oh, you see, but I try my best. Say I go school past you. Are you getting my point? I'm salary scale, full civil service. I'm much higher than you. Does not change the fact that deep inside, we are all made by the same God. We are all subservient to the same Father. And if you have faith, you are just as good as I am. The only difference between me and you is whether you get faith or you not get faith. Nobody say I go to school, you not go. All school is grass. I hope you know that. Yes. All school is what? Grass. I say jokingly in my office, Augusta, but it's a conscious thing I did. Once you're an older person, they think I'm just being jovial, but I do it deliberately. Augusta, how now? Shake it with two hands. And this is somebody who maybe is on level 4 when I'm on level like 16. But there's a commandment of scripture. And the Bible says the rich and the poor have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. So listen, if I see Aliko Dangote tomorrow, the same respect I give older people and what the Bible calls ruler amongst men. Once somebody is a ruler amongst men, you also give the person honor. But deep inside, oh boy, you're not better past me. That one are your ministry. This one are my own. Some of you here, you are ministers of corporations, amen? And your cooperation will be bigger than that of Dangote in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some of us are ministers of preaching. And we are going to bless multitudes. We are blessing multitudes. We'll bless them in millions, in hundreds of millions, and listen to me, in billions.
Amen.
One thing I'm setting off is that the time will come, I'm talking as a preacher, all right? Adapt this onto your life. As a preacher, I'm certain of this. I am very certain. A time will come, I'll just go to the airport and say, today, I don't want even fly commercial, and I don't want to buy a private jet. I'll just sit down there. My wife said, husband, what's going on? I said, I don't want to fly commercial, and I know they buy private jets. Not because it's bad, though. I just don't want to buy. So what are you going to do? Hey, call you can now. You not get a private jet. Let him send you here, let him come and fly me. Oh, nonsense.
He said, it's 15 million in fuel to go to America and come back. I said, that is what I feel like eating today.
No, listen, I will call you one day. You know, some things I don't do now. Nobody say, just at the watch time. One day I will be on the road. One car will go past. View! I will say, what is that? Maybe I can look with him that, daddy, this is Cadillac. I said, give me my phone. Call Udechukwu. Tell him I like it.
Amen.
That's it. Daddy, no apologies. When he brings it, I thought you bring yesterday. Why is he just coming today? He says, sir, you know what happened was that they said the color you asked for, you know, it took them later to deny. You are sure you just call him? Say yes. What else will it be now? Call, just call him. Let me have it. Let me inspect it. Is it the correct height? Yes, you can go. Did you hear that? I didn't say thank you. Just say you can go. I will call you one day, you know. That is a joy. Look, that's my own ministry. That's my job. I'm a preacher. I may not build a company like that, but you that I'm preaching to, you will build 10 times that.
Amen.
It's well with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say it again, in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Righteousness is my portion.
Is
say, holiness is my portion.
Is my portion.
I have been forgiven.
And I live in forgiveness.
Let me just end with this. We do not continue in sin that grace may abound. We'll talk about that later. It's well with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare to you that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life.
Amen.
And you will abide in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Put up your right hand again. Peace be upon you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus said to disciples, and what he says to one, he says to all. He said, my peace I give to you. That your right hand is carrying the peace of God in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you get home, what do? Put your hand on that wall and say to that house, peace be upon this house. Listen, inside there, your phone will ring one day, and the peace of God will bring connections your way. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your plumber that is sick in that house will get healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.